Yeah, life is crazy, ain't it? Ain't it all the portrait frame nor the picture painted? A canvas stained with human strain contained in something dangerous.
Thank you for listening to one of the audio messages from Cornerstone Church Airdrie. My name is Brad, and I have the privilege of serving as the lead campus pastor and primary preaching voice at Cornerstone Church Airdrie. So if it's me you're hearing speak today, or if it's someone else, our desire is still the same. We pray that you are so encouraged, that you are built up, challenged, and inspired. Through these messages, our hope for you is that you would grow in knowing God, knowing His hope, knowing His purpose, and knowing His power. We believe that the God who spoke all through Scripture is still speaking to us today, and we pray that as you listen to this message, the heart of God would be speaking to you. Enjoy the message. Today we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4. Over the last several weeks, we've been exploring the book of Colossians and looking at some practical things that Paul would tell this church, that he would write to this church and say, here are some things for you to be aware of, and here are some things for you to put into your life. And we've been looking at these same kind of things and talking about them in a practical way for our life. What are some things that we can do that will allow us to live our best life? And we began talking about this series at the beginning by talking about what a best life looks like, and that it's not a life of luxury, it's not a life of excess, it's not a life of somehow the best of everything by worldly standards, but Paul will commend them for their love and for their faith. And so we've been exploring, how do we grow in our love for God and our love for people, and how do we have big faith that allows us to believe God for big things. And we've been talking about all the different areas and parts of our lives and how we can make choices and make decisions to put into practice attitudes and actions in our lives that allow us to be good ground for the Lord to build on, to be good ground for the Lord to use to develop in us these characteristics of big love and big faith. And today we're going to close out this series. Actually, today, after our service today, I'm going to be on holidays for a few weeks, and Pastor Matt, who's on holidays right now, will be back with us next week. But we've got an exciting season in the life of our church over the next couple of weeks, because we're going to have a myriad of voices coming and sharing with you. Next Sunday, Shannon is going to come and share with us, and then Pastor Matt's going to share for a couple weeks, and then Cynthia Morris is going to share, and Barb Tatlock is going to share, and Steve Faulkner, the president of Foursquare Canada, is going to be with us, and then it'll be me again. So you get a few weeks of a reprieve while you get to hear from some other voices, and I'm really excited about this time in the life of our church, not just because I'm going to be on holidays, because I won't be on holidays for all of that, but for some of it. But I'm excited because it's so valuable to not just hear from me, but to hear what others are hearing from the Lord, what others are sensing, and what God is speaking to somebody other than me, because we each hear God for ourselves, and we can each hear God for the church. And these women have expressed that God speaks to them, and I know that God speaks to them, and so I'm really excited to hear what it is that God's going to share and do in us over these next few weeks. But today, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 4, and today I want to talk to you about prayer. And prayer can be a bit of a tough subject, I think, to talk about and to communicate about, sort of like tithing, but in a different kind of way. Because for many of us, when the pastor would talk about prayer, when the pastor talks about the importance of prayer and what prayer should be in our lives, sometimes that can be accompanied by feelings of guilt and shame. And the reason why, I think, is because for a lot of us, prayer can be like flossing. We know we should be doing it, but we probably don't do it as often as we should. And the only time when we really think about that we need to be doing it is when we know in this moment, I've got a dentist appointment tomorrow. Maybe if I floss really good, I can fool them. And we have those same kind of moments where we come to a moment in our life, and in this moment I see and I write, I gotta pray. But it's sometimes hard for it to be a habit in our lives, where we have a high priority, but it's kind of sometimes for some of us, maybe it's just me, and maybe all of you are good, and I'm just preaching to myself this morning, but sometimes it can be hard for our prayer lives to be consistent. But today, I don't want to talk, I want us to approach this message this morning without shame and without guilt or without somehow you needing to feel or be a certain way. But I want to talk to you about prayer and its role in our lives, not from a place that you need to do this, but from a place of together we can do this. Look at the gift God has given us. Look at what God has given to you and to me. Look at the gift. Isn't it amazing? Now, when we talk about prayer, what are we talking about? We're talking about talking to God. Now, that's easy to say, and it's easy to hear. It's easy to say, well, what is prayer? Well, prayer is talking to God. Well, yeah, that's it. That makes sense. That's what it is. But I think sometimes when we've served God for a long time, we can lose the magnitude of that. The size, the scope, the perspective of all of that. If you're married, do you remember the first time you told your spouse that you loved them? The first time you said, I love you. Your hands were sweaty. You were nervous, scared, anxious, worried what might happen. Are they gonna say it back to me? There's this feeling of, oh, this is a big deal that I'm going to do this. Yvonne and I have been married for it'll be 12 years this year. I don't get nervous when I say I love you anymore. I'm not worried about what's she going to do. Is it going to scare her off? Is she going to say it back to me? That the nerves, they kind of go away. And this thing that was this huge, big deal kind of becomes commonplace. Kind of becomes, I love you, I love you too. You know, that you get so good that you don't even have to say all of the syllables. It just kind of becomes, I love you too. And sometimes that can happen with us with prayer. That we can lose the magnitude of what is happening when we're praying. You and I, we get to talk to God. We get to talk to God. Last week, we talked about the magnitude of who God was, the God we serve, the God who Scripture says can take mountains and throw them into the sea, the God who can part the Red Sea, the God who can speak the universe into creation, the God of all majesty, of all power, and all authority. You and I, we get to talk to Him. And you know what's even more amazing? He listens to us. That it's not just some ritual He's given us to do. It's not somehow that we do this, but God doesn't have a part to play. We're not demonstrating and showing our holiness by this ritualistic act that really has no meaning. No, it's we speak to God, and the Creator of the universe, the one who breathed life into human beings, listens to you. He hears your prayers. And He doesn't just brush them off. They matter. The God of the universe listens to us. He doesn't turn his ear away from you. He's not too busy for you. You are not too insignificant for God, but God listens to the prayers of his children. You can speak it out. You can write it down. You can whisper it. You can yell it. You can speak in paragraphs or you can speak in just one word. Some of your most powerful prayers may have been your shortest. Jesus, help me. That's a short prayer. But it can be powerful. And even shorter, Jesus! That is as powerful as anything that you can pray. But when you pray, God hears you. And so today we're going to look at Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at just really one verse this morning, verse 2. And we're going to see three things that God says to us about prayer in this verse. Paul writes, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The first thing he says to us is be devoted in prayer. The first point for us today, make prayer your priority. Make praying a priority in your life. Anything that is important to you, anything you deem as valuable, you put a priority on it. I try to go to the gym. And when you're at the gym, what you discover is that going to the gym means lots of different things for lots of different people. Everybody who's at the gym went to the gym. They go to the gym. Some people go to the gym a few times a week. Some people go to the gym a few weeks in between times. Some people will say, I go to the gym every day. Some people will say, I go to the gym several times a day. That we all go to the gym, but for everybody who's there, for all kinds of different reasons, going to the gym means all kinds of different things, and depending on the priority you've placed on this will determine how much time you have for this. That we're all doing the same thing, but some people will say, I go to the gym before work, I go work out on my lunch, and then I come to the gym after. And that is a big priority that you have placed on this, a priority that I can't do. But there's all kinds of different priorities, but whatever you deem is valuable, you put a priority on. Paul is saying to the people of this church, you need to have a priority of prayer. Make it not just a part of your life. Don't let it become just something you have an option to do, but instead make it a high priority. Make it important, something that you make a choice to do, something you choose to do over other things. That in your life, that we would think, you know, I could be praying right now, or I could be doing something. I could be doing this. Paul says, choose prayer over whatever that thing is. Make it a priority. When you have a reason not to pray, choose to pray over top of that. Don't let it be something that happens when you get close to your dentist appointment. That you just start flossing because I got a dentist appointment right away. Oh, I need to start flossing. I guess I need to pray. Make a choice in your life to say, I'm going to go to God with the things that are going on. Instead of worrying about everything, I'm going to pray about everything. Instead of allowing everything to live in my head with torment and stress and pain, I'm going to get it out and I'm going to pray about it. Paul says, devote yourself to it. Make it a priority in your life. In the Old Testament, there's a story about a guy named Daniel who made prayer a priority in his life. In fact, it was such a priority in his life that there were some people who didn't like Daniel, but what they knew about Daniel was that prayer was a priority in his life, and they thought, we can use that against him. And so they concocted this all very strange plan. And they went to the king and they said, King, you need to make a law that no one is allowed to pray to anybody other than you. And the king, whether it's foolishness or arrogance or what it was, I don't know, said that's a good idea. Did he think he could hear prayers? Like, I don't understand, like, what the end, I mean, I guess it was that they would worship him as their king, but realistically, the king had to know, this is just a figurehead position. Like, I'm not actually going to hear anybody's prayer. But the king says, yeah, that sounds good. That makes sense to me. And the reason why they did this was because they knew Daniel had made priority of prayer. And so they knew that even if the law said, don't pray to your God, Daniel was still going to pray to his God, and then they'd be able to get him. And they made the penalty that you had to get eaten by lions. Death by lion was the penalty that they made for praying to anybody other than the king. And so there's this law pronounced. And David, without hesitation or apprehension, goes and prays. He was devoted to prayer. Prayer was a priority for him. And in Daniel chapter 6, it says this about Daniel's priority of prayer. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Just as he had done before. Other translations that you have in front of you may say something like, as was his custom. It was his priority. It was his lifestyle. It was his devotion. Daniel says, you can do whatever you want. Make whatever rules you want. You can put whatever obstacle you want in my way. I'm going to pray. I'm devoted to prayer. I've made prayer a priority in my life. And that's what we need to make a choice to do in our lives. A heart that says, whatever's happening in my life, whatever's going on in my life, whatever I'm facing, whether I'm busy or I'm on holidays, whether things are stressful or things are easy, whether I'm fighting with my wife or we're getting along great, whether the kids are being annoying or whether they're not, whatever's going on in our lives, that we need to have a heart that says, I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to be devoted to prayer. If things are good, God, I want to thank you that things are good. If things are bad, God, I need your help because things are bad. But we're not going to just turn to prayer because we're in a moment of crisis. But we need to live a life devoted to praying. Whatever's going on in my life, I'm going to Jesus. I'm not going to go to friends. I'm not going to go to substances. I'm not going to turn to other distractions. I'm going to turn to Jesus first. For where you are in your life, and for where you're going to go in your life, what God has for you, what God wants to do in you and through you, you need to have a priority of prayer. Because you're going to see things and you're going to walk through some things, and if you're not praying, you're not going to know what to do. But if you make a priority of prayer, you can walk through hell on earth. Back to the verse. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful. Number two today, look for things to pray about. Look for things to pray for. What does it mean to be watchful? Look for opportunities to pray. I could pray about that. We can pray for so-and-so. We can pray about that. Sometimes inside Christian circles, telling somebody that we're going to pray for them, it's kind of like a greeting. Like, you know how sometimes when you talk to somebody, just naturally and instinctively we say, hi, how are you? But there's no opportunity for an answer to that question. You know, that you're walking past somebody. I will sometimes do this at the dog park. I'll be walking my dog, and somebody's walking the dog the other way. And as you pass them, you just go, hey, how are you? And just keep right on walking. Like, there's not even an intention of, like, you're supposed to answer this question. We just keep right on moving. And if he's answering me, I'm 20 feet past him by the time he's done. Sometimes inside Christian circles, we can treat, I'll pray for you, kind of like that. That somebody will come to us and tell us about something that's going on in their lives, and we say, I'll pray for you. But it can kind of sometimes just be something we say. That because we know it's what we're supposed to do, because we know it's what we're supposed to say, we say, yeah, I'll pray for you. But that's kind of the end of what we do with it. It's not really a commitment to pray for them, but it's kind of more, I've said I'll pray for you, and so in a way that's kind of like a prayer, so I kind of already did what I did, and so then we're done. But when you live like Paul is telling us to live here, looking for things to pray about, when we're looking to, for people to pray with, looking for people to pray for, you don't live with, oh, I'll pray for you, but we can live with, come on, let's pray for that right now. Let's pray right now. You're facing that? Let's pray about it. I don't just want to counsel you. I don't just want to walk with you. Although those things are good and right, what I need to do is I want to pray for you. Sometimes we talk about prayer like it's the least of the things that we can do. The least of what we have to offer. All I can do is pray. I'm sorry that you're going through that. I wish I could do more, but all I can do for you is pray for you. Sorry about that. I wish there was something more I could offer. But the reality is the greatest thing that you can do for someone is to pray for them. It doesn't negate helping them in other ways, but prayer is bigger than anything else you can do. Remember, we're talking to God. That when we come to help somebody, when we come to pray for somebody, we're not just going and talking to their landlord for them because they don't have enough money to make rent. We're going and talking to the one who made their landlord, to the one who made the land that they think they're lord of. That we're going and we're talking to God on their behalf. When we say to somebody, I'm going to pray for you, we're saying, I'm going to go to God on your behalf. And I covered you. I covered your family. I covered your job. I covered your health. I covered your financial situation. And I covered it with the maker of heaven and earth and all of the power that he has. That prayer is not somehow this trite little thing that we have to offer each other. It matters. And if you start looking for people to pray for, God's going to start to bring you people to pray for, opportunities to pray, and more than that, opportunities to see God work in your life and work in the people that you're praying for in their lives. That the more we open ourselves up to prayer and say, God, I want to pray for people, you're going to discover people coming across your path that you've got a chance to pray for. And you've got a chance to pray with. And you've got a chance to have spiritual warfare over their lives because we believe that what we're doing makes a difference. Look for people to pray for. Because we can become so self-consumed that we will miss the opportunities that God has for us. It's natural. It's natural to look at my life, to look at my problems, my needs. It's natural for me to be focused on me because that's a human nature. But when I'm looking at me, I can miss the opportunities that are walking right in front of me. If you're not seeing people to pray for in your life, you'd say, I don't have anybody to pray for. You're not being watchful. Because there's all kinds of people around you who need all kinds of prayer for all kinds of reasons. In fact, if you look around the room right now, there's about 60 whatever people who could use you to probably pray for them right now. That if we're all honest, we're open with you, we can pray for each other. We need to be looking to see. And the last thing that Paul says about prayer is devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. The last point for us today, pray with a good attitude. Paul addresses our attitude when we pray. Because in life and in prayer, attitude is everything. In your life, whatever facet of your life you want to talk about, whatever area of your life you want to talk about, attitude is your altitude. You will never rise above your attitude in life. Whatever your attitude is about something, that's as far as you're going to get in it. You're never going to have a bad attitude about something and say, you know, that went better than I thought it was going to. A bad attitude will only carry you as far as your attitude will let you go. It doesn't matter how gifted or ungifted you are, your attitude is everything. So Paul says, be devoted to this thing. Watch for stuff and then pray with a good attitude. I wonder if sometimes, instead of just coming to God with our to-do lists, complaining or worrying about everything, we came more often just to thank God for everything. When Jesus taught us to pray, what did he start with? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What's going on there? It's praise before petition. It's coming, and the first thing that Jesus is, when you're going to pray and you're going to come to your Father in heaven, praise him. Praise him. Give him work. Don't just come with God, I got some stuff for you to do. But we come with a heart that says, God, you are holy, you are righteous, you are our King. On our Wednesday night prayer meetings, Maria, who leads our prayer time, models this so well. Whenever we come to pray, she's got a direction, and we'll talk about requests, and we'll talk about things that are going on. But we begin with prayers of praise and thankfulness, because that's where we need to start from, is we need to start from a position of, God, I am so thankful for you. Praise God when you come to him. I'm telling you, it will change your prayer life when you just start thanking God. My son Owen asked me the other day, Daddy, why when you pray, do you always start, thank you? The first thing that you pray is dear Jesus or dear Father, whatever it is, and then thank you for something. Why do you do that? And I said to him, Owen, it's because whatever I'm coming to God for is so much less significant than what God's already done. That as I'm coming to God, and no matter how big of a request I have, no matter how big the thing I'm praying for is, no matter how huge and life-altering and life-changing and life-threatening, whatever this issue may be for me or whoever I'm praying for, you, what God's done is still greater than all of that. That what the Lord has already accomplished is so much bigger than the thing that I'm facing right now. When he died on the cross to save me from my sins, that's bigger than any need that I'm facing. And so when I come to God to pray, I want to come with a thankful heart that says, God, thank you for who you are. God, you are awesome. You are mighty. God, thank you that you have been so kind. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you pursued me. Thank you that you leave the 99 to come after me. Thank you that you showed up when I needed you. Thank you that you showed up when I didn't deserve it. Thank you that you showed up when I couldn't earn it. Thank you that you are better than we deserve. And thank you that you are greater than we can imagine. We come to God with a heart that says, God, thank you for who you are and what you've done. God, this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. It will change your prayers and it will change your prayer life if you start thanking God, even thanking God in faith of what he's going to do. Thank you for this miracle that we're praying for. God, thank you for this breakthrough that we're praying for. The Bible says that God calls into being things that were not. That God calls, that these things, they don't exist yet. But God calls them into existence. God creates that which hasn't been created yet. And so when we come to God in prayer, we can thank God for the things that we don't even see yet, because we know that God has the power to create them. God, I know that you are for me and not against me. And if you're for me, what can be against me? God, even as I'm facing all of these things, God, I know that I've got victory over them. Not because I'm living in victory, not because I'm choosing victory, because sometimes we're not, but because I know that God has already won the victory. and I just have to wait and see what he's going to do. It's not name it and claim it. It's not speak it and see it. We don't make these things happen. But we need to pray in a way where we expect the things that we're praying for are going to happen. It doesn't somehow change what God will do. God knows we doubt. God knows that sometimes we pray with extraordinary amounts of faith. And God knows that sometimes we come and maybe our faith isn't exactly where we'd like it to be. But we need to choose to believe that when we come to God, that the things that I'm praying for, that I could actually see them happen. We need to pray for people, pray for situations, pray for other people, not because it's what we should do as Christians, but because we pray because we believe it makes a difference. And even before I see the difference, I'm going to thank him because I know that he's going to do something. I may have a picture in my mind of what that thing may be, but that's my business. But I believe that when I pray for you, that God's gonna do something. He's gonna change something. And it may not look like what I think it should, and more often than not, it really probably shouldn't look like what I think it should. But I believe that when we pray, it makes a difference. And the last thing that I want to talk to you when it comes to prayer today is some of the context that's happening here and sort of the follow-up to that verse. Paul, he's writing this letter to this church from jail. He's in a jail cell. He's locked up and in prison. And from his jail cell, he's writing this letter. That's what Colossians is, and that's what a lot of the books of the New Testament are. They're letters from someone to someone else or to a group of believers. And in this one, it's a letter to a church. And he's teaching them about how to be a church, how to be a follower of Jesus, how to love one another. And he's teaching the church to pray. And then he asks the church, would you pray for me? He doesn't come to them and say, now I just want to remind you who I am. And then boy, oh boy, have I got a gift for you. I am the Apostle Paul. And I'm going to pray for you. Because I'm the Apostle Paul. So what a blessing to you, hey? The Apostle Paul is going to pray for you. I taught you how to pray, and now I'm going to show you how to pray, and watch what happens, because I'm Paul. That's not what Paul does here. He comes to the church, and he says, church, would you pray for me? He says, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. He doesn't pray, help us to get out. He doesn't pray that God would send another earthquake to get him out of prison like he did before. But he asks them to pray for an open door, not an open door to his cell, but an open door to witness. To evangelize, to make the most of the time that has been given to him, to make the most of this moment, to make the most of where I find. Pray that a door would be opened so that we could share the gospel even here in jail. The Apostle Paul knows and understands the power of prayer. And he says to the church that he's just spent four chapters of this letter teaching and discipling. He says, church, can you pray for me? Because Paul knows that this church that's just full of a bunch of regular people, their prayers have power even in the Apostle Paul's life. That this group of regular people can pray for this guy who writes two-thirds of the New Testament, and it matters because our prayers matter. I'm going to invite the worship team to come and join me. You know who else is a church of regular people, but a church of people whose prayers can change things, can change lives, can change the community where they find themselves, can change everything? Do you know who else is a church like that? You are. We are. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers matter. You make a difference when you pray. So pray. Pray diligently. Pray with devotion. Pray, or make prayer your priority. And look for things to pray for. Look for people to pray with. As our service comes to an end and we're talking and chatting with each other, pray for each other. Think about someone to pray for this week and message them and tell them, I'm praying for you. Watch for people. Watch for situations to pray and do it all with an expectation that your prayers matter. They make a difference. They have the power to change the world.
All of the hours wasted.
Thanks again for listening to the message. I pray that your heart was blessed by what God had to say today. If you'd like to connect further with Cornerstone Church Airdrie, there's a couple things that you can do. You can find us on the internet at cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com and select Airdrie from the homepage. If you'd like to connect to a pastor at the church, you can do that through our website. Once you're on the Airdrie page, just click on the New Here tab in the main menu and our campus pastor from the drop-down menu. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram at Cornerstone Airdrie, or you can follow us on Twitter at CS Airdrie. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and get new content delivered directly to you. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, as that helps people find us easier. We're so grateful to be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with our community in Airdrie and with you today. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we're a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. And you are a part of that family. As family, we go.
All of the restless days, another disappointment, another hidden shame. You never gave up, you never gave up on me. You never give up, oh, you never give up on me. All of the broken mended, all of the